Welcome to the Canvas Rebel podcast, where we believe your story matters. Your viewpoint and your insights matter. In our view, there is far too much coverage of the trends that ivory tower professors and billionaire fund managers are seeing. What's the edge in hearing the billionaire consensus view over and over again? The edge comes from hearing new perspectives and new information, like from the wedding planner who's worked with hundreds of couples during the pandemic and has noticed that new couples are allocating significantly more of their wedding budgets on small details like personalized neon signs, or hearing from an accountant who's seeing how there is a huge uptick in e-commerce clients generating revenue from in-person pop-ups. Those sorts of insights are what Canvas Rebel is all about. And today, Madison is chatting with some of our content partners about trends and lessons learned. Content partners help us in so many ways, from sponsoring our mission to spreading the word about the work that we do and collaborating with us on content like this. And so with no further ado, here's Madison with today's panel.
Well, hi, everyone. My name is Madison. Thank you so much for joining me on another episode of our Canvas Rebel podcast, talking about building a career and your journey as an artist. I have three very talented individuals here with me today who all work in different forms of art and who are all extremely passionate about what they do. So very excited to have you all here to learn a little bit more about your background and share some wisdom and insight with our audience. So let's get started with some introductions.
All right. Me first. All right. I'm Tommy Guns. I'm based out of LA here, in California. I'm on my own film company, Tommy Gun Productions. I was an actor, became a writer, and then started my own company and stuff. So I'm working on multiple projects right now. Yeah.
Amazing.
My name is Adri Norris. I am a visual artist. I'm currently out of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And for the last 7 years or so, I've been creating artwork about women in history. So the focus is on telling their stories and doing so in such a compelling way that it inspires people to get curious and start doing research on their own.
Right on.
All right. I'm Adrian Patterson. I'm a writer, designer, multimedia artist. I've been working basically as a freelancer for the better part of a decade. More recently, I've founded my own creative agency, one-man agency, dealing in everything from writing to design to visual arts, and providing those services to both businesses, big and small.
Amazing. Awesome. Well, thank you all again so much for being here. I would love to start off by asking, how did you each get your start in your specific creative field? Did you know since you were really young that you wanted to be an artist, or is that something that kind of came to you later in life?
I guess I'll start.
Yeah, go for it.
I pretty much have been doing art as long as I can remember. I basically kind of grew up younger watching my dad and my cousin draw for me, and that kind of inspired me to get into drawing and just art in general. As time went on, I kind of started using my art in more of a strategic, kind of specific sense of doing more design work, kind of more in my late teens, but I didn't really take it seriously till I was in my 20s. And of course, over the course of my life, I've always been a storyteller and always enjoyed writing, but it wasn't until my 30s that I really took writing seriously and made that kind of shift to putting that also in my toolbox.
Yeah.
So for me, it's been I've been a lifelong creative, and I don't really see that changing anytime soon.
Yeah. Awesome.
No. All right. I go? All right. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, 10 years ago, about 12 years ago, I came out to Hollywood as an actor, and I was a bell ringer, kettle worker down at the mall, and I ringing my bell and stuff down in South Center. I saw the movie Let Me Drop a Kid with Bob Hope and Doris Days. That's the song Cinderella came from. I was entertaining people like that, and I go, wow, this is great. I've decided from that day I'm going to become an actor. Came out to Hollywood about 12 years ago as an actor. Pretty good. And the pandemic hit. I don't know what to do. Can act no more. I decided to take a different role because we're all in a mousetrap. Hit one wall, we turn another direction, but it's still in the same trap. That's the film industry. So I decided to write my first script. It got picked up. I said, wow. And I made my film. I learned from it. And then I decided to do my own film company. Yeah, me. And venture off from there. Yeah, me. And still in the same mousetrap.
But here you are.
Yeah, here we are still. Yeah. So
I was probably about 7 years old when I told my parents that I was going to be an artist when I grew up.
Wow.
I had technically my brother had a tutor who would come to the house and help him with reading and stuff like that. And he decided to engage with me as well because, you know, I'm another kid in the house. And he brought this book and it had the works of Leonardo da Vinci in it. And I believe that was the first time that I really understood that art was something that was created by somebody. Mm-hmm. Up until that point, it just sort of existed in the world. I'm like, oh, yeah, that's a cool thing. But to see somebody's sketches and to see their process, that was when things began to click.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, well, then that's the thing I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, every kid gets crayons and colored pencils and scissors and glue and all of those things as part of their list of stuff to bring on the first day of school. And I like to tell people, I just kept buying that stuff and I just kept using it. And so I never really stopped creating. I fell in love with portraiture. I fell in love with the human figure. And so that is where I placed my focus. And I have been drawing faces and bodies and just people ever since. And it wasn't until 2016 where I found my niche. Because in addition to loving to draw, I also love to learn.
Yeah.
And I started learning these amazing stories of women in history who'd done so many things that were so pivotal to who we are as a culture and who I had never heard of. And by this point, I'm like in my mid-30s. And so I decided it was time to combine my love of learning with my love of art, put these two things together and share what I was learning with everybody.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I love that. Well, I'd love to hear from each of you about the challenges you've experienced as an entrepreneur or just as a creative in general, and how have you been able to overcome that?
Okay. For me, it's been setting boundaries and having, especially as a freelancer, making sure you get proper compensation.
Yep.
Because that has been a tale that many creative can tell of having projects and going on people's words or having contracts and then things kind of not going the way you would want them to.
Yeah.
That's kind of been something I've had to deal with, definitely in terms of that also going to setting boundaries. But as I've kind of gotten more wise to the situation, for me, as an entrepreneur to kind of go getting over that hump, it's been more about being intentional, having specific questions about clients when I get them.
Yeah.
And also making sure that I have very detailed and written out contracts.
Yes.
So we know what our expectations are.
And to protect you. Then,
yes. So they know how this process is going to go, how much things are charged, how long the duration of things should be, which is something I really had to get into more so within the last year or so.
Yeah.
Because I was kind of just going about it, well, I'll take the word and I'll do the right thing. And then you kind of get burned one too many times. You learn, like, maybe I need that contract to make sure I get the money I'm supposed to get.
Yes, I totally get that.
Yes.
I want to piggyback off of what Adrian said, because that is so incredibly true. I would say the biggest thing I had to learn was literally how to do business. So in addition to the contracts and negotiations, understanding how to educate my clients, because sometimes you do get pushback as to what your numbers are, how long something's going to take. So if I understand, for example, I had a conversation earlier today, somebody wanted me to design something for them. I'm like, all right, cool. But how are you going to use it? Because it's going to be one cost if you're going to just use it for marketing purposes. It's going to be a whole other cost if you're trying to make extra money off of this.
Yeah.
So now we're talking about a licensing fee. So understanding like the ins and outs of how a business functions and what are the things that I can use to take advantage of it as an entrepreneur, and then passing that information on to the client so that they understand that there's a reason why I'm charging what I'm charging.
Yep.
All right. For me and stuff, for overcoming stuff, and it's problem solving in movie business, because from day one, you write a script, it's failure. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? To film, it's all about failure. You know what I mean? You have to problem solve everything. You know what I mean? And never hold tight to nothing and stuff. You gotta learn and stuff, right? Because I have a script and just had a meeting just now. But these A-lister stars didn't like the script, and so I couldn't get picked up on them and stuff. So they asked me they could tweak the script and stuff like that a little bit to get the actors and stuff. It's still the same rat maze and stuff, because you're going to problem solve every little issue. You know what I mean? Yeah. From cast, from directed, from this, from everything. You know what I mean? It's all about failure. You know what I mean? So, yeah. And you got to learn how to problem solve and never be married to one thing and stuff, because you're working with so many talented people out there and stuff, right? You got to let them have their voices too and stuff. So you can move on in film and stuff, right?
Definitely.
And so a lot of people saying, this is my idea, this is the way I go and stuff, I want to see like this. It doesn't work in film, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Good Will Hunting like that. It was an action film. He wrote, you know what I mean? But it got changed to a story about a psychiatrist and is doing it. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? You can't be married to one idea and stuff like that. You know what I mean?
You have to be flexible.
You have to be really flexible and stuff like that, and learn how to problem solve.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And stuff, because filming, you know what I mean? It's a waiting game of problems, you know what I mean, coming up, you know what I mean? So, you know what I mean? And so you got to anticipate this and that always and stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. If you could each tell your younger self one piece of advice, what would that be?
Practice the fundamentals. There's so many things within my practice that I never liked doing that I just wanted to skip ahead to the good part. And I've gotten by skipping ahead to the good part, but my goodness, the things I would be able to do if I had practiced the fundamentals then as I am doing now. And this is true of the creation of artwork, but it's also true of the things we were discussing earlier. It's like, learn the business. Don't just dive in and build the plane while it's in the air.
Yeah. You know?
Learn all the things, work on them while the stakes are low. And then when the stakes are higher, you will have all the pieces you need.
Yep. So true.
For me, I would say proceed with reckless caution. Have those kind of boundaries set in place was like, you know, having like, not necessarily having a plan B, but being like, I know what I want to do and where I want to go with this. Mm-hmm. But also being open to letting things happen when they're supposed to happen, or going with the flow of things.
Yeah.
There's been so many times that I've gotten either clients or work for other businesses where, you know, it starts off one way, you go in there for one reason, then next thing you know, things have shifted. Especially with me, they know I do multiple things, so it might start off writing and then they want me to design something for them, or vice versa. Or they'll be like, oh, we want your more creative input on these things. I'm like, okay, sure. Of course, it'll be a little bit more, but you know, I'm still willing to kind of shift and go where I need to go.
And adjust the contract.
Yes, and adjust the contract. And some people get on post for being multifaceted and having like different things that they're particularly decent or good in, but it kind of works, especially in this day and age.
Absolutely.
Me is different. I was like walking situation blind. Like a lot of people in the film industry, a lot of people are always against you. You know what I mean? You want to go in blindly. You don't want to hear them. You know what I mean? You want to go for it and stuff. Dreams come when you sleep, your eyes closed. You know what I mean? But with walking in blind and stuff, you see that dream still. There's a lot of roadblocks. People say, no, this, you should do this and this and stuff. You know what I mean? It's all about creativity in yourself and stuff. You're creating something from nothing ever been built before and stuff as a filmmaker and stuff. You should go in blindly as a filmmaker and all this stuff, because a lot of people are going to say, no, you should not do it. You have no money and this and that. In film, from a script to process, it's no money at all. It's all investments and stuff. What your dream is and stuff. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? So I don't want to hold you back and stuff. I say, close your eyes and go in blind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Be fine.
That's right. That's good advice.
Yeah.
How do you all stay inspired when dealing with burnout?
For me, it kind of took me to the pandemic to really get this. But taking breaks and finding ways to keep yourself inspired. Because if you don't take the breaks, you as much as creatives, if you want to keep those creative juices flowing and just keep going, 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 eventually you got to tap yourself out.
Yeah.
And when you tap yourself out, then you're stressed out because you're like, oh, I can't come up with any ideas. I can't come up with anything.
Yeah.
But if you allow yourself to take those breaks and kind of just take a moment to, you know, go out into the world, explore, get inspired by the things around you, then you can kind of overcome that burnout. But definitely something I had to really hammer into myself and make it a habit is take those breaks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say similarly, space between projects.
Yeah.
So even if you can't take a break, at least you have time to, you know, recalibrate or try a new thing. Mm-hmm. I've definitely found myself getting into artistic ruts where I'm doing the same thing, the same kind of way over and over again. And it's about my inputs. So if there's like a new concept that is needed, I listen to so many podcasts on a regular basis, especially when I'm working. And so sometimes the new inspiration will come from what I'm putting into my ears. Whereas if I find that I'm in a visual rut, then new inspiration will come from what I'm putting into my eyes. Whether it's, you know, I haven't watched a cartoon in a while, let me double back and, you know, watch some new anime or Disney thing or whatever. Or let me go into my comic book collection. I have like my favorite artists who have inspired me in the past. And maybe if I revisit, you know, some new thing that I didn't see before, but was totally present the last 20 times I looked at this book, will also make itself apparent to me. And so These are some of the things that I do, as well as, you know, looking at other artists and going out into the world and having different kinds of experiences. But if time is short, then I just look to my bookshelf and see what's on there.
I love that.
For my film industry, we're mini hat. Yeah, I mean, because you could write yourself into a rut. Work on a movie poster for another film. Work on your casting. Work on this, because it's all art in film. Yeah. You know what I mean, in every aspect. Yeah, you know I mean, it's all art. Yeah, you know I mean, to the music. What kind of music you want to enter? What kind of band you want? Yeah, you know I mean, listen to songs and stuff. Wear different hats and stuff. You get burnt out in writing. Switch your department to like that. Yeah, you know I mean, for one day, then go back to another department. You know, Yeah. And if you're working on one script, have like five scripts you're working on, because one idea might come be flat, but this other story, yeah, I mean, you have loads of ideas on it. Yeah, I mean, work on that. Yeah, I mean, so change directions always. Yeah, I mean, go with the flow of like water. Yeah.
Yeah. Go with the flow.
Yeah.
Well, my final question before we wrap up for today, I would love to know what's next for each of you in 2024. What do you have on the agenda? Any fun projects? No. What's new?
I guess for me right now, it's just trying to grow and build my business more, especially this year. I've been looking at more creative ways to kind of put myself out there. Definitely trying to get more into even the community and helping out more in that way. But definitely right now, no current projects in the works, but maybe some prospects probably going forward, but we'll have to keep our fingers crossed on that.
Yes. Those. Believing for big things.
Yes.
I recently moved to New City. So I was in Denver for about 17 years or so. Wow. And at the end of 2022, I moved to Albuquerque to spend time with my family and stuff. But when you move to a new city, you have to rebuild your network from scratch.
Entirely.
And that's the place that I am in and have been in. So I spent the last year in a network building space. And also in a creation of new habits space. And one of the new habits is writing more so that I can engage more online, because it is super different than networking in person.
Absolutely.
So these are two things that I've been focused on. But project-wise, I've got some things in the pipeline that have been on pause for a while. They were on pause when I was very, very busy, and then on pause while I was figuring out how to network and just recalibrate my brain to where I was. So I've got one set of trading cards that I did when I was in Colorado, and I'm trying to expand on the series. So I did women in Colorado history. I want to do women in New Mexico history and women in history of hip hop. So those are like my big projects.
That's so cool.
That projects I'm working on.
All right. I'm working on my werewolf movie, Midnight Hour, right now. So we be shooting in July. And after that, I got Part two of my anthology series, The Drop of Blood, coming out. Then I have two shows, the pilots are coming out, The Last Angel, and Upper Management and Lower Management, about the worst jobs you could do in heaven and hell. And I'm going to take on two more projects of kids and stuff, with kids' ideas, come up with their scripts and stuff, have young minds, do two movies for them pretty soon.
Amazing.
Come up with kid actors, kid cast, everything, you know what I mean? So it's their project, you know what I mean? So, yeah, and I'm going to expand to that soon and stuff like that, you know what I mean? So, awesome. Yeah, it's going to be a kid movie with kid actors and all that and stuff, with full crew and all that.
Right on. Lots of big things for each of you.
Yeah.
Well, thank you all so much for joining me today. A great conversation. I loved hearing more about your journeys and how you've been able to build a career as an artist. And I'm so excited to see what the rest of this year has in store for each of you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, thank you, man.
Thank you.